So the international break is here, and that means the managerial merry-go-round has started to spin incredibly fast. Let's have a look at one of the clubs in depth and find out just what went wrong for Roberto Di Matteo at Aston Villa. Joined on the show by Dan Bardell, Villa season ticket holder and blogger. Afternoon, Dan.
Hello, Andy. You all right?
Yeah, better than I'm imagining you Villa fans are feeling at the moment.
It's kind of a feeling that we're used to now. I mean, we used to be quite a stable club that didn't go through managers a rate of knots like we have done over the last few years. We're in danger of turning into Leeds at the moment with the amount of managers that we've gone through. But I can understand why it has happened, but it is sad to see another manager come in and end up leaving the club, and probably now won't ever go on to do anything again, as is the way when most managers seem to depart from Villa Park.
Now, I was going to ask you about the change of ownership in the summer. Dr. Tony Gia comes in. We spoke on Radio Yorkshire when that had just happened to find out what the thinking was and the plan was behind that. Roberto Di Matteo was then brought in. From the outside perspective, though, you guys always seem to be chasing, you know, the Premier League, as obviously you would be, but you always seem to be behind Newcastle and Norwich, just gone with things a bit more quietly. So you guys always seem to be the one who, of the three, would struggle. Is that a fair assessment?
Like we spoke off air, we were the ones that needed the most rebuilding. I mean, when you've ended a Premier League season on 17 points, obviously, there's more than a few things wrong with your club, and new owners and a new CEO and a new manager isn't instantly going to change things. I mean, I think you look at a team like Norwich, they were already pretty well set up for a long Championship season. They had a lot of players in the Premier League who were good Championship players who can play at a high level in the Championship, and they've held on to them, and they've held on to a manager as well that's already got them up before. Obviously, Di Matteo's come in with a bit of a track record at West Brom, but again, when he came into West Brom, they were a side that was pretty much built for the Championship. They'd just gone down. They'd held on to the players that had got them promoted a couple of years earlier. They still had the same group of players, so that job was nowhere near as big as the job that Di Matteo was taking on at Villa. I thought it was a decent appointment. He wouldn't have been my first pick at the time, but I felt that him with Steve Clarke, I felt they'd bounce off each other well and that they complement each other. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked. I mean, I don't like getting rid of managers this early. And like you say, it is silly season. But with the amount of money we've spent, you can't dress up one winning 11. It doesn't look good whichever way you look at it, even though we have actually only lost three games. I think ultimately it's the chucked away points and the draws that's cost Di Matteo more than anything.
Well, that most recent loss was on Saturday against Preston. It was 2-0 there to Preston. Villa find themselves sat 19th in the Championship table with 11 games gone. I mean, you mentioned that there haven't been that many defeats. I imagine that the final straw would have been the fact that, and I mean, no disrespect to Preston in this sense, if it had been maybe a 2-0 loss to a Newcastle or somebody who was expected to be up there, it might have been a different scenario. But a loss to Preston, and then when Dr. Tony Gia sees that not exactly free-spending Huddersfield are sat top of the Championship, does he then look at the situation and that's where he's then thought, this needs to change, we need to do it differently?
I think the problem is, I think at the start of the season, we were obviously trying to do a lot of business. We were trying to get a lot of players in. So it was almost as if we were waiting for the window to finish to know what kind of side that we had. And I think with the purchases that we've made, despite possibly being short in central midfield, I think if you'd have spoken to most Villa fans after the window, they were pretty happy with the squad that we've assembled. But actually, since the transfer window shut, we've actually ended up getting worse. I always think it's a sign that a manager's struggling and he's panicking, he doesn't know his best team, when he reverts to five at the back. Tim Sherwood did it just before he got the sack last season in the Premier League, and Di Matteo did it 3-4 weeks ago, and it just didn't work. And it just always seems to be this thing at Villa where the managers, they don't seem to shoehorn players in, they don't know their best system, they don't know their best team. And I think that's the thing that's most worrying with Di Matteo. At one point on Saturday, we were playing with like five up front and one central midfielder. We've always struggled in central midfield over the last few years, as is, without having one on the pitch. And I think Preston, it is a difficult game for us because there was a couple of players there that had come through the Villa Academy and that were never really given a chance that were up for the game in Callum Robinson and Daniel Johnson, and by all accounts they played very well against us on Saturday. But I can't really knock the owner too much because he's invested a lot of money this summer, and I think he would have expected results to be better, and rightly so. And like you say, I think you look at a team like Huddersfield at top of the Championship. For him, he won't see any reason why it shouldn't be Villa there with the money that we've spent. But the reality is that football isn't like that. It doesn't work like that.
Now, as a Huddersfield fan, I take one look at the betting odds and see that David Wagner's name is there, and I take that with something of a pinch of salt. From the point of view of, although Villa obviously a bigger team, with Huddersfield he's been given the time to work, he's been allowed to bring in his methods, his coaches now, a lot of the players that he wants to bring in, and I see us top of the league, where I think that in Aston Villa he might go in, and if in 5-10 games it's not working, same as has happened to Di Matteo. So I don't see there being too much in that. However, I'm looking at that from the Huddersfield Town blue and white stripe perspective. From the Villa side, you may actually see and feel that he is a realistic one, that the odds are not incorrect on that, Dan.
Well, first off, he's done a great job at Huddersfield. Obviously, he's had a good teacher in Jurgen Klopp, who is my favourite manager in world football at the moment. So he's got good pedigree and he's done a great job at Huddersfield. But for me, as much as I think Aston Villa is a big puller and we are a massive club, I don't want to talk my own team down, but I kind of think, why would he leave Huddersfield flying high at the top of the league to come to the poison chalice that is the Villa job? I know we are a massive draw and we are a big club, but he could come into us. And to be honest, patience is wearing thin amongst supporters. I mean, I'm quite a patient Villa supporter, and even I'm stressed out by what's happened over the last 5 years. And when you sit at Villa Park, it is very difficult not to lose your temper, because we've just been starved of anything remotely good over the last 5 or 6 years. But if Wagner came in to Villa, I don't think we have the players to play the way he likes to play football. I'm not sure we'd be capable of doing a high press or playing that style of football. I don't think we've got the midfield to do it. So for him to look at, maybe he's at Huddersfield at the moment and he actually has got a group of players that he wants to work with, players that he's chosen, and you've obviously got a very good chance of going up this season. I just think it would be a massive risk for someone like him to leave Huddersfield and go to Villa at the moment. I don't see why you'd do it, and it hurts me to talk down my team like that, but I just don't see why he would move.
Some of the other names in the latest sort of bookies odds, Steve Bruce is in there, the Brentford boss Dean Smith, Tim Sherwood's there, and Steve Clarke, who is the man who I think is in temporary charge, who to me, that's a great manager. But what's your shout? Who do you want next?
Steve Clarke's the interesting one, because I was really pleased when he joined, but the problem is with Villa this season, we've had Di Matteo and Clarke there, but I don't feel like I know what they're about or that I know them at all. I mean, Bodymore Heath, the training grounds, pretty much been on lockdown since the season started. I mean, the players and the staff have only really spoken to the press when they've had to. So I've got no idea what their plan is, their personalities, really what they want for the club. The one that stands out for me is Dean Smith. I mean, obviously he's a local lad. He supported Villa in his childhood, and I know he's got family in Birmingham, and he did a great job down the road at Warsaw, and he's doing a very good job at Brentford. I'm the kind of person that likes to see someone come in with a long-term vision, and I think Dean Smith fits that. Equally, down the road again, I love Gary Rowett, because he's done a brilliant job at Birmingham, and again, he's a Villa fan, but I don't see him leaving Blues to come to us, to be honest. Dean Smith's the one that stands out, because I think he may look at it and think, is this job ever going to come round, and am I ever going to get the chance manage my boyhood team again? So I think he'd probably end up taking it, and I think Brentford are quite generous with letting their managers leave. Bruce doesn't sit well with me, nothing to do with the Birmingham City links, because as I've said, I would welcome Gary Rowett to the club. I just don't think he's a good manager. He doesn't appeal to me, and I think there would be a massive element in the crowd that would never forgive him for being a former Birmingham City player and manager. He'd always be a few results away from sticking abuse from the fans, so I don't think that's the right call. I just want someone with a long-term vision, and I think Dean Smith fits that bill perfectly for me at the moment. I think he could be what we need to cajole us and get us up the league.
10 days' time, you take on Wolves. Do you see the new man being in place by then, or do you think it might take a bit longer than that?
I think he has to be. Has to be in by then. I mean, as you say, we've got a safe pair of hands in charge on the face of it with Steve Clarke. But I think the main reason why Di Matteo's gone when he's gone is because of this international break, because it will give us a week to get someone in and then a week to get that man with the players on the training ground. I'd be shocked if we didn't have someone in before that Wolves game. And already it feels like it is a must win, but it already feels like it may not be a win for us, such is the mood at Villa Park at the moment.
Well, Dan Bardell, always great to get you on the show. Thank you for joining us, talking about Villa, and feel free to spread the word amongst the other Villa fans that David Wagner is not available.
I'll do my best.